Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
The Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Randy Scott. Taylor Twellman is here as well. We're in for the guys who have some time off, right? I mean, Dan and Sugatz in the shipping container down in South Florida, and they get to enjoy their time off because they're in Florida and we're up in New England where I think we're still in phase one of I don't even know what we're allowed to do. I know you're allowed to play golf, Twellman, and that's all you care about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what, it's all about me, buddy. As long as I can play golf, I could care less what you're doing. What are you doing? Legos every day?
Legos all day. Homeschooling?
Are
we'll
you
get into
homeschooling
that.
Your kids, by the way?
Yeah. Somebody has to.
Oh,
yeah,
poor
of course.
Kids. Those poor kids.
I'm not doing it solo, though. Thank God. No, we have help. We have some. Yeah, it's tough. Those poor kids. Wow, I just picked up on that. there is plenty of NFL to talk about as well. And there's also plenty of football adjacent stuff. So I'm glad that we have Tim Hasselbeck with us here on the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio. Tim, home in what? Are you home in parts unknown south of the Mason-Dixon? You want to leave it at that?
I'm south of the Mason-Dixon. I mean, I live in Nashville. Not afraid to say it. I don't know what. Okay. I think we're starting phase three today. Which means that Taylor's welcome to come down and play golf anytime.
Taylor,
that's all that matters. Tim
that's
was
good.
Tim was at Laker the Ozarks last weekend, so it was good.
Nice.
I was not there. Did see that video, and even I was alarmed.
Even you were alarmed.
Pandemic or not, I think I was alarmed. But
I like absolutely. Yeah. Even pre-pandemic, I like there was a tweet from Spencer Hall over at Every Day Should Be Saturday. He goes more like Brovid-19. Because those bros were getting after it. Sun's out, biceps out, doing all of it. Tim, I think we're going to start non X's and O's football, if that's all right with you. Would you make of Brady's golf, quote unquote, performance yesterday in the rain?
Listen, here's all that matters, okay? All that matters is only one shot is going to get replayed for years to come.
Yep.
Only one. That's all that matters. I mean, it really doesn't matter how bad everything else was. It doesn't matter if he split his pants. None of that matters because he holed out, and quite honestly, that shot will be shown more than any other shot from that situation, and everyone's going to be like, yep, see, that's why Brady's the GOAT. Look at him. I mean, it's amazing. So, like, he totally won. Like, he absolutely won.
Yeah, Tim's not wrong on this, Randy, because if you really think about it, there's no way he broke 100, and yet the only thing people know is that he dunked it in from 70 yards, made an eagle putt, split his pants, and then had a few good moments where, guess what, he took a shot at Chuck. Like, that's the one thing, Tim, that I think you need to give perspective, because Randy kind of took a shot at Brady saying he wasn't really good with his comebacks. I say, well, he's still currently playing. Like, Peyton's astronomically more funny since he's done playing. Did you get that sense with the talking and the banter, so to speak, with Brady and those guys?
Yeah, I think Peyton's obviously a little more aggressive about it. It was pretty, and he was funny, which is probably not surprising to any of us. And yeah, like I kind of think that while Brady's like immediate like quips, weren't as good as Peyton's, they were still fine. And then you know, even some of the stuff afterwards, I guess it's out there on Twitter, like, hey, I thought this was a, you know, champions round and, you know, all of that stuff. Like, he came out of win. Here's the thing, Taylor. Like, the reality is that, like, Randy just can't stand this. Like, as a Raiders fan, yeah, he's just like, no, wait a second, people are going to like Tom even a little bit more. I think he's a little bit better. And, like, even though he lives in Massachusetts, like, he can't stomach this.
Yeah, no, that's factually accurate. It was I was the one who said, man, if they were playing in snow, he'd figure out, you know, an obscure rule and use it to his advantage. But no, they're just playing in rain. No, I appreciated Brady because here's the thing. Like, I don't think you're going to see somebody, and he's in this group, right? With, you know, the Michael Jordan group, the Tiger Woods group. You're not going to see somebody and that level of fame and that level of, you know, type A control over their image and how they're perceived, put themselves out there like this, right? Like, Brady deserves a lot of credit for, you know, going against two of the best golfers in the world and a guy in Peyton Manning who's got a far more compelling personality on a live mic. So Brady is out there in a very disadvantageous position, and I don't think you're going to get a lot of control freaks do that. So Brady deserves a lot of credit, and then to come away with the memory of the event is the shot, right? It's not splitting his pants. It's not being a Twitter punchline for the first, you know, six holes. It's going to be for the shot and then turning around and telling Chuck, you know, how do you like that? Have some of that.
There is no doubt. Like, both, you know, Peyton and Tom put themselves in a really vulnerable position. I mean, like, we all know that Taylor's a really good golfer. So, like, he can be this guy. He's a professional soccer player, but, like, you know, yeah, pretty much to anybody's standards, going to be impressed with Taylor as a golfer. Well, like, Tom and Peyton know that, like, that's really not how people are going to view them. So they already are vulnerable. Like, it could have gone so much worse for Brady.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what everyone has to realize. Like,
yes,
it actually could have just compounded and gotten worse. So the fact that he ends up coming out on top on this thing is just even more ridiculous.
Tim, that's the one thing that I don't think people fully realize is that he was close to shanking the ball. He was close to, he was shanking chips. It could have gotten so worse. But I'm going to use that shank as a transition here to this new 4th-and-15 onside kick alternative. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on this new NFL rule or proposal of that?
Yeah. You know, I think with what they've done to make the kickoff safer and how that is probably had an unintentional consequence on the likelihood of recovering an onside kick, it kind of ruined the onside kick, which, you know, wasn't this amazing play beforehand, but, like, there still was some excitement to it. You know, you go back to, like, David Akers, because he had such a strong leg, had the ability, you know, to kind of really bounce the ball and pop it way up in the air. And by popping it way up in the air, it allowed the coverage team to run 10 yards. And, you know, it was like a legitimate thing. And I remember playing a preseason game against the New England Patriots. And after the game, Bill Belichick is like chasing David Akers down to basically just grab his arm and tell him how impressive that kick was that he had. And so, like, it just, there was still some kind of strategy and intrigue to it. It's basically a waste of time now. And so, look, I think it kind of swings things where it gives the advantage to the losing team now. You know, in comparison, you know, 4th-and-15, I think, is going to be much, you know, easier to get than an onside kick. I think teams are going to, you know, have, you know, they're going to practice these situations and plays. And so I think it makes it more exciting. I don't know that it's necessarily the right thing, because I think it's giving an advantage or more of an advantage than currently exists to the losing team. But it'll be more fun to watch than the current onside kick situation.
Talking with Tim Hasselbeck on the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Taylor Twellman and Randy Scott in for Dan and Stu Gotts in the Shipping Container. Tim, what about the eye in the sky? What about the skybox referee? How much do you see that impacting and, I don't know, possibly slowing down the pace of play?
Yeah, I guess here's what I think a little bit about these kind of eye in the sky replay situations, you know, command center, all that stuff. I think we all want calls to be right, right? Like, the thing that kind of has bothered people in the past were, you know, the catch rule, and you're like, man, that looks like a catch. Or, you know, the pass interference situation, and man, don't you want to get that right and be able to review that if you can review this other nonsense? look, we all want the calls to be right, but when there are kind of subjective calls and there are things like that, like sometimes you're just going to have to live with it. That's just the reality of it, is you're just going to have to live with it. And so I think, you know, the NFL, because of the way they have kind of made a rule, but then have kind of altered during the season how they are enforcing that rule. So catch rule, as an example, offensive or pass interference replay from this past season. Like, if you're not going to be consistent with it, then don't do it. Just live with the call on the field. And I think that we're kind of getting to that point, you know, with this current situation in terms of the NFL not being consistent with how they use some of these new things that they've instituted.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck, if I promise to make – I'm trying to think of what I can contribute here. If I make guacamole, can I get the invite? Can I get the invite to the family compound with Twelman in Nashville?
No, dude, I'm not going with you. What are you talking
holes.
About?
We'll travel separately.
Yeah, dude, why would Taylor want to play with you?
To feel better about his own,
I don't. I don't need you for that. Randy.
I don't think
we're
he
good.
Needs that. I don't think he needs it. Randy, what would you shoot? What would you shoot if you went out there and played today?
I haven't played in more than 2 years.
Oh,
so
I'm out. Lose
I'll
my
say,
number.
I'll say. Breaking 100 would be a win. That'd be a win for me. I'll go. I'll
Could
go
be
98.
A win for you?
98. I'll go out and fire in 98. But,
That well, listen. You have young kids. You're homeschooling them.
Sure.
We'll give you a little bit of a pass. Hey, listen, my brother lives in the neighboring town. Like, call him. Yeah. Maybe even Field Yates. Call those guys and see if you can get an invite to the country club.
Get over in Weston. That's good. Tim Hasselbeck.
There's no way Randy's allowed to play anywhere where Field plays. No chance.
Good.
No chance.
Right. Thank you, Tim.
See you, fellas.
All right, hey, listen, if you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know. That's your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Battery start at just $79.99. They also have curbside pickup on any order. So you enter the code DAN20. That's DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Libertard.
And finally, Fruit Loops are all the same flavor, just different colors. I refuse to believe that.
Is that right?
I refuse to believe it. I mean, try the grapefruit loop and tell me that doesn't taste different than the cherry one, because it does. I love Fruit Loops.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Libertard Show. Did you know that all of Fruit Loops were the same flavor, just different colors?
Refuse to believe it.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Last time Taylor Twellman had not Fruit Loops, but just a sugary breakfast cereal. When was that?
This morning. What do you act like I'm like TB12 over here? What are you talking about?
No, listen.
Just because I like a White Claw here and there doesn't mean I don't dabble a little bit with stuff that's not good for you.
I didn't even want to get into the White Claw, but that's good. I'm glad that you can't look as good
as I do, Randy, and not like a good White Claw here and there.
You know what I mean? Got to cut corners where you can. And that was
the
thing of Mike A., our producer, when he was like, you know, Twellman looks like the kind of guy you want to have a bourbon with, have a beer with. He's like, Randy, and then he just trailed off. And that was one of the more gutting, hurtful things I've ever heard. It's the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. This is shower sessions. Half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. And this, when I say that that's one of the more hurtful things I've been told on this program, this includes the fact that Dan once had a run of t-shirt designs with hashtags basically calling for my firing and, telling the world that he hated Randy Scott. So, that's where that ranked, Mike. I hope you're happy. It's up there. Twelman, it's not often that we get
to
say
to get
that
one of those t-shirts.
It's in like a Levitard XL. So it's big.
Well,
it's big.
I could cut it in half and wear it.
You just cut the sleeves off. That's what I get it. Get some darts in the back, you know? Get it tailored.
I've really got some guns over here.
That's what I'm just showing off to the world. It's not often, Twelman, that we can point to, the MLS as being a leader. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this. As being someone or a league where a major, more profitable league, I think is a safe way to put it, is going to basically copy their style and copy their plan. But right now with the pandemic, there are no bad ideas out there. We just need ideas and we're going to try to, you know, flesh them out and sort them out and figure out which one's going to work. And I say all that to say that the NBA and its plan to at least begin the comeback and the return to basketball is gaining steam. This is Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN basketball insider, on Get Up earlier today, talking about the league's plan to return.
Everything is pointing toward a return of the NBA this season at a single site in Orlando at Disney World. And teams expect the league to tell them to start recalling their players as soon as next week. And there'll be a 2-week quarantine back in markets. But the league has started to not only put the plans in place for a return in terms of testing and safety health-wise, but really digging this week into what that format is going to look like.
All right, so take the format part out. The Orlando part, the single site, all of that. Twelman, they're getting that from the MLS.
Yeah, Major League Soccer's, they've been ahead of this behind the scenes a little bit in the sense of coming together, finding the city of Orlando as a bubble city. Now, you can go through the formats and the quarantine ideas and whatnot. That's evolved and that's fluid. That changes every 24 to 48 hours. Obviously, Randy, when we have this conversation, seriously, it comes down to testing. When we talk about the Bundesliga and how they've pulled it off, they've been exponentially more progressive, more transparent, and more proactive with their testing than the United States has been, and it's afforded them that opportunity. And until the United States wraps their head around that aspect, no matter what league we're talking about, because you've got to provide that for the players. Orlando's given the NBA more of a security blanket because of what Major League Soccer has already come up with, that they've moved away from Vegas and they've looked at Orlando. Now, the interesting aspect of this is going to be Major League Soccer players are going to kick off July 3rd, July 4th, if their plan goes through. The NBA comes 12, 13 days later. And their players are being told, as of right now, they will not be quarantined. That throws a huge wrench into that entire plan, while the MLS players are quarantined, will be quarantined, will be tested and whatnot. That's where my confusion over the last 48 hours, I've started to ask questions behind the scenes. How does that add up? Where does that come from? That throws a huge wrench into trying to quarantine everyone.
Okay, so what? Okay, there's three levels of quarantine here. There's one with the MLS players. There's one with the NBA players, and you just outlined. It sounds like two very different policies here, league to league. But there's also a third group of people here, and their level of quarantine is very much up for debate. And that's the hotel workers, because the way the Disney site works, and the reason it works is because it's due in no small part to the fact that they have the adequate number of hotel rooms, right? If you've ever been to Disney World, you know you have no shortage of hotel options. And we were joking around, like, how do they decide what teams stay where? Well, is it by seating? You know, so the Lakers are staying at the Grand Floridian and the Bucks are staying at the Polynesian, and then on down the line and you get to, you know, your 10 seed, the Pelicans are, you know, are camping out or whatever it is. But there's no shortage of hotels. The problem is the hotel workers. What are you hearing about the restrictions that might be placed on the people who are going to be handling bags, cleaning rooms, providing room service, things like
that?
There's
no answer to that, Randy. There's no answer. And that's the biggest concern for players, because you've got some of these players that their significant other is due with a child. And yet, so in order for that player to then go and be there for that birth, you've got to quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. None of the players are getting an answer from the leagues or from the government of Florida whether or not those employees are going to be quarantined. And that's going to be a huge talking point on whether or not this goes through. However, I want to say this, Randy, because this is the first time you and I have done radio, but I've done it over the last, I'd say, 6-7 weeks. I am on the record, and I'll still be on the record. Something is better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And when players, you know, some soccer players have compared this to a luxurious prison, lose me on that. There's 30 million people that are unemployed right now, and they would all want to be in that situation. So you've got to lose that edge. Do you need to be more secure in your health? Absolutely. That's not what I'm saying. But to compare it to a luxurious prison, lose me on that.
Yeah, that's a hard pass when, yeah, unemployment numbers are in the mid 30 million mark, right now. And we don't know what, yeah, we don't know what the economy is going to look like on the other side of this. But I'm with you. I'll be on that same record here in saying that any level of sport right now is better than none. And that includes the fan debate. Do you play without fans? You pump in the fan noise. And we're going to have Michael Collins, our ESPN caddy, on.
Oh, this should be fun.
At noon Eastern. He's coming up at noon Eastern. I know you guys have gone back and forth on that as well. And we're going to get your take here, Taylor, on part one of the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 that aired last night, a 2-hour part one, and really sort of leading into some of his background and how he got the competitive drive that he got and the build up and winning his first Tour de France, and then everything. I think in part two is going to be the spectacular downfall of Lance Armstrong as this American cultural icon. But I know he's had an impact not only on your sporting life, but also in some of your philanthropic and endeavors as well. So we're going to get your take and some of your story time with Taylor as you break down
Deep
Lance
thoughts.
Armstrong. Yeah, there's a lot more of that. Do I have, Mike A, do I have a SportsCenter read here? I don't want to botch it.
You do not.
If I do, so I'm clear on the SportsCenter. All right, so story time with Taylor is Randy Scott and Taylor Twelman are in for the guys. It's a Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Le Batard.
From the window.
Stugatz.
To the wall.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to get to, as Taylor Twelman is here for the duration, and I'm Randy Scott in for the guys, I want to get to story time with Taylor, because I know that you have some interaction with Lance Armstrong, but maybe the greater impact that he made on you, Taylor, was in, I guess, his downfall? I don't
his
explain
demise?
It. It's fascinating.
You want me to give that story now?
I kind of want it with a quickness, because you came up, you and Mike,
yeah,
and Rob came up with a device that is far more entertaining than just Lance
than
Armstrong being
Absolutely.
A jerk.
Long story short is this, is that when my career ended, I thought about starting a foundation. I was heavily impacted by what Lance Armstrong did through cancer and Live Strong and through my connections with Nike, being a Nike athlete my entire career. I started to reach out and just started to kind of figure out which way I wanted to go. And I met some people that were really close to Lance through his foundation, that ran his foundation, that ultimately created it. They wanted to use the color orange because it's the color of healing. But then through selling the foundation, they came up with yellow because of obviously the Tour de France and what he did there. And so when you go through that aspect and saw that, I then took the color orange, obviously for thinktaylor.org, brain health, and all of that.
But then it was his interview on Oprah Winfrey in 2013, Randy, that just impacted me, saying, wait a minute. There's no remorse from you. There's no contrition. Everything that you just went through, and every person, millions of people wearing that yellow armband, and you want to sit here on national TV and not apologize and not own any of it? And there's the lack of emotion there changed the way I looked at my foundation. I looked at how I was going to message people, how I was going to impact people. But also it impacted me, Randy, where a lot of people, corporations, didn't want to really do the foundation anymore, in the sense where they were like, we can't really do this right now with the Lance Armstrong saga and all that. And it actually made my foundation more powerful. We don't back any single product. We don't back any single hospital, any study. So it actually impacted me for the better. But at the time, I was very frustrated with the sense of, wait a minute, you just sold me a bag of goods. That was nothing.
Yeah.
You just sold me a car with no wheels on it, no tires. Like, I felt slighted by the whole thing of saying, I'm clean, but take the clean part away. If he cheated in a sport where everybody and their mother cheated, Randy, I'm okay. I'm actually okay with it. But the lack of contrition for the foundation and the millions of people that bought into that cancer and that treatment and what that was, that's where he lost me on that.
And you said no, and you said certain companies were hesitant to get into the foundation game because it was like, how well do we really know these guys? Because everybody felt like they knew Lance Armstrong, and
but Randy, I felt slighted because then people initially asking that, I'm like, what do you think? I'm making up about my concussion problems?
Right.
Like, wait, hold on here. I'm not making anything up. But it was different. It was all about the timing. Anyways, that's where Lance impacted. I had met him a couple times at the ESPYs. Obviously, he wouldn't know me from, you know, being Ryan Seacrest's stunt double. Like, nothing would have translated with him on that.
Was that a humble self-compliment? What was that from you just now?
Is it?
Seacrest's stunt double, so a tougher version of Seacrest, because you're willing to get out there. You're the Brad Pitt to Seacrest DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Is that what you're saying? Okay,
maybe.
That's good to know.
I mean, I'm more Paul Walker, but God rest his soul. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Not too soon.
Anyways, we've lost the group.
Well, back to hold on, your device here, and back to Lance Armstrong.
This is good. This is really good.
And Randy Scott in for Dan and Stu Gatz in the Shipping Container on the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. Okay, so what separates, because you and I are viewing this Lance documentary through kind of a cynical prism, where it's like, is this the beginnings of an attempt at an image makeover and a reintroduction of Lance into pop culture? Is this, you know, sort of a tour of contrition? But we haven't seen that yet, and I don't think we're going to see it in part two. And that's what you need to have in order to get back in our good graces. And you came up with basically, it's like, what, three legs of a stool? And you can only have two legs. You do a better job describing it. It's your thing.
So you can only pick two of the three, okay?
All right.
Jerk, since we're on radio, national radio, and we're trying to be polite, but everyone can fill in what that word really is.
Yeah. If you see
winner,
Mr. Holland's opus, it could be a J-hole, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Got it.
Winner. And then the third one is liar, cheater. You can only pick two. You can't be all three.
Okay.
Because I'd argue that Lance Armstrong is all three. That's why he loses it. I'd also say Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. They probably fit all three, don't they, Randy?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Michael Jordan, does he fit all three? Nope.
No, because there's no doping. Exactly. Okay, so that's what it is. So you can be, all right, so you can be a colossal jerk. You can be, a major champion, but you, so a winner. Because Barkley, I mean, Barkley falls into this. Like, there's some people who probably, you know, Barkley rubs in the wrong way.
Barkley doesn't fit in this. He never won. What are you talking about right now?
He was a winner short of being a champion, though.
I mean, is that what we're doing right
Does
now?
Does that work? I don't know.
Relevant,
you tell me it's your thing. No. It's your thing. If it's if championship is the bar, then that's the bar. We can throw Barkley out of this.
Let's just simplify it. Otherwise, the listeners and the viewers are going to be like, well, I'm winning at life, so then I work. No, that's not how this works. Like, no. Okay. Right? Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
It's what makes the Alex Rodriguez part of this so fascinating.
Yes, it does.
It really is, because he championed with the Yankees. He got his ring with the Yankees. There was the cheating for a while, for a very short while, and it wasn't as litigious at all compared to what Lance Armstrong did to the people who questioned his possible
And he
doping.
Was a total jerk. He was a total jerk. No one liked him. Everyone in the media didn't like him
until
he joined the media. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute.
And was apologetic. He was self-deprecating. Like, whatever he's done, you know, being
I'm not totally sure
eye,
he's been apologetic, has he? He's been self-deprecating in a way that has made him apologetic. That's fine. I'll give you that
okay.
much.
Yeah.
But he's a very interesting one for me. I also think Tiger's a very interesting one.
Tiger
when this is all it's because I've said this from the moment Last Dance came out. If there was a 10-part series on any other athlete that I would want to watch tomorrow, it's Tiger Woods. And you get all the footage from all the ups and downs. You get everything. I'd watch that tomorrow. The jerk part, I think, has a lot of people fooled now in this rebirth of his career. I don't think he's as big of a jerk as many people thought. Maybe he's changed a little bit. Maybe he's been humbled, obviously, going through the back pain. But you see and hear the Justin Thomases of the world, the Ricky Fowlers, the Brooks Koepkas of the world talk about Tiger. Randy, that wasn't happening 10 years ago. No one talked about Tiger in that sense. And so I think that's turned. But the cheating in that aspect, that's always been that cloud that has hung over Tiger Woods and those injuries. Remember, Tiger's name was brought up. And some of that Balco stuff, right? You remember?
I did not remember that.
Yeah, Google it while you're sitting there. If you look it up, Tiger's name was brought up. Balco may be the wrong scenario, but Tiger's name was brought up in some of it. Now, it came out, and I don't think he did, but my point being is that when you talk about these three categories, like the Barry Bonds, where's Pete Rose fit? Here's a good one for you. Where's Pete Rose fit?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, because he only got apologetic very, very late. He's always sort of been viewed as a cantankerous sort of jerk. He was one of the greatest. He was never a champion. Oh, yeah. No, excuse me. The Big Red Machine. So he checks that box as well. Buddy, I mean, I think that's why he has so many defenders and so many people want to see him in the Hall of Fame, because he's not only paid his price, but because he's come around on the public perception tour. But I mean, so I just Googled what you're saying with Tiger.
It was 2009. Remember the Canadian doctor,
yeah,
Tony Gallet?
His doctor was linked to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, New York Daily News. But also, I mean, the other stuff I'm seeing is just, you know, CBD gum, you know, chewing CBD gum during rounds. But so many
people
do that now.
You're the person that believes everything you read. So I should have never sent you to Google.
That's me?
My apologies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. I appreciate that. No, Van Pelt's talked about that on his podcast. I think you the summer intern with Van Pelt, you've talked about the CBD gum that the guys are chewing on tour now. It's helps them stay awake, helps them stay focused. But Tiger, that also sort of redefines or moves the line on the cheating that you're talking about. Because we're talking about dopers, right, with regard to
So
Lance
here's one for you. I told you I had a curveball on the break. Tom Brady.
What? Excuse me? Are you
yes,
just
for you. Where's Tom Brady?
I mean, greatest champion the NFL's ever known.
Okay.
Did you just say he's a
cheater?
No, I mean, you're wading into some waters here with him. Like
listen, every non-Patriots fan will tell you what, Randy, and you're one of those. Deflategate, Spygate.
That he's been around those things, and that the league has been punished, and that he's been punished for it. So, you're right. There is that part of his resume as well, and he hasn't been apologetic for it. He's been redeemed through winning after the suspensions.
Yeah, and I don't think Spygate is technically on his shoulders for what it's worth.
No, it's
yeah,
not.
He may have reaped the benefits, but I'm not totally sure. That was his doing. Deflategate's interesting. I'm surprised you didn't like my tweet yesterday when I said winning the driving competition against Peyton Manning with a 3-wood is like winning with deflated. And then
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You must have been playing Legos with your kids.
I was probably doing Legos with the kids. All right, since I didn't do the Sports Center at the beginning of the segment, I got to do it now. Former USC running back Reggie Bush, who forfeited his Heisman Trophy after the NCAA concluded that he improperly accepted cash and gifts while playing for the Trojans, is now concerned about college athletes being able to sign endorsement contracts and receive payment for other work. Bush told Playboy, quote, "Guidance is the one thing that young athletes come coming through the college system miss on so much. This is something that has never been experienced before, and it's going to destroy some people if their foundation is not in the right place, close quote. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning outlasted Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, one up in the match, Champions for Charity, as $20 million was raised, TNT announcing it would round the donation up from about $19.7 million up to an even $20 million after the match. Heavy rains in Florida and a weather delay couldn't dampen the impact of the day. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep-penetrating, and odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip-sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Libertard.
Because Bob Lee is retiring, the company is celebrating him. The last great journalist at ESPN is leaving.
Jeremy Schapp would like a word.
But nobody ever said the call letters better than Jeremy Schapp. Back when they used to sign off with that, I'm Jeremy Schapp. ESPN.
That's true. Ooh, Chris, Rachel yes. Nichols would like to have a word.
Oh, that's right.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Who says the letters ESPN better, Jeremy Schapp or Rachel Nichols?
Why did they stop doing that? Let's bring that back.
All right, you bring it back.
I will do that.
Okay.
I'm Chris Cody, ESPN.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Taylor Twellman and Randy Scott. In for Dan and Stugatz in the shipping container, a reminder, tune into the ESPN Daily podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you get your podcasts. He was supposed to be here at noon, but everybody knows you show up early for your tee time. You get some time in on the range, check in with the starter. You don't want to tick that guy off. Our right. caddy and yours, Michael Collins, joining us on the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. And
before we go real. He's been up since 4:30 this morning, Randy, so he's ready to rock no matter what.
I like it. We were comparing notes like, hey, when did your course open back up down there in Florida?
Yeah.
He goes, no, man, mine never closed. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Florida's sort of America's outback steakhouse. There are no rules. It's no rules, just right.
We're trying to figure out whose governor can outdo the other.
Well, that's why
governor
Florida
was like, oh, yeah, we're opening everything. And Georgia's like, not only are we opening everything, I'm going to shoot bleach myself. Check this out. You'd be like, oh, here we go. This ought to be fun. I had to this morning. I was up so early doing Golic and Wingo. At the end of the segment, I had to apologize because my wife was snoring so hard. But I was like, listen, that is not a lumberjack cutting trees down, if you can hear that in the back. As a wifey, just sawing long.
Where did you do the radio show? Under the covers?
No, man. My setup is in my bedroom. Cause I got
you don't
nice,
say.
I got a picture window. It would be weird if it wasn't. It's in
he
the
better, he better, say it's, in,
it's
yeah. better
holiday,
say it's in the bedroom.
Holiday weekend.
So,
wifey had a tough one.
all right. So I was gonna go off of the Florida being open and the course never closing and get to some of the golf that we saw in Florida yesterday. Can you encapsulate for us? I want to break Brady's round down at the match for charity there. I want to break it down into like six. Why don't we do like three groups of six holes? Okay, his first six holes, Michael, in 30 seconds. How would you describe those?
Here's what's easy. The easiest thing about how that match started, it was painfully obvious. Tom Brady had never worn rain gloves to play golf before.
Twellman said the same thing.
It's real easy. And Phil never plays good with rain gloves, and now he's nervous on top because he knows he's got to carry these guys for a little bit. So those first couple holes, they were just – it was the nerves hitting. And for Brady, once things start going bad, dude, it is so hard as an amateur to get them back on track when you know the cameras are there. And now you're – even though your teammate says it's okay, you're like, oh, thanks, man, thanks. But inside you're like, I'm not helpful.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
You're
I should have never done
that.
This.
In that foursome. All right, so you're sticking around. You came up early.
Yes, yes.
You're going to stick around for your main hit. We're going to get more on this. And then a disagreement between Michael and Taylor.